Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, we speak to people making a difference in Bedford County. Now, here's our host, Lloyd Roach.
Thank you, Mac DeFazio, and good morning to you, and welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program over News Talk 98.7 FM and 1310 AM WBFD. This morning's program is brought to you as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association, BCDA, presenting the Bedford County Advantage, a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and exceptional quality of life that defines our region. This morning we have a very interesting guest, Doug Gaiman. Doug is a professional farmer. He's been a professional farmer in Bedford County, I think, since the founding of the nation. But we're going to try to find out a little bit about him. First of all, good morning, Doug. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Appreciate it. Tell me a little bit about Doug. I understand that you are a farmer with a long family tradition of it. Can you give me a little history on your farm and how it all came here?
Sure. Thanks for having me on today. My parents moved here from Bucks County. My father grew up on a dairy farm in Bucks County and decided that he and his brother, really the farm there was not big enough for both families. So he was a feed salesman, and he moved to Bedford County in 1955 and worked in feed sales. And later, his career took him into being a dairy nutritionist. But after living in Bedford County in a little house on Sunnyside Road, for a couple years, he went to the realtor and said he wanted a farm, and he found the farm that I currently reside at on Pencil Hollow. So he bought that, and we've been there ever since.
What is the name of the farm?
Well, don't really have a name farm.
Really?
Or a farm name, but...
I thought everybody named their farm.
Well, at one point we owned a farm where down in near Belden, where the current business park is. And we always laughed. My brother, I think, gave it a name of Dancing Heifer Farm, and at the time had a little wooden cutout of a dancing heifer on the side.
So. That's good.
But other than that, don't really have a name for the farm.
So how big is this place?
The farm?
Your present place.
Mm-hmm. The present farm is just an acre or two shy of 160 acres.
Right. So what do you do on your farm? Are you in beef or grains, or what are you doing?
Well, up until just recently, I had beef cattle, and I really didn't farm full-time. For the last 20-plus years, I've rented most of the farm ground out to a tenant, and he raises soybeans, wheat, and corn.
Tell me about farming in Bedford County. You know, I've only been here 11 years, but I came from a farming area. I lived in Chester County. I'm curious to know how farming is doing in Bedford County. You would probably consider it about a small operator as opposed to some of these other big ones that are here. Not to mean that you have a small farm, but you know what I mean. Tell me about farming in Bedford County. Is it moving ahead, or is it shrinking, or is it? What do you think?
Well, I think the size of the farms are getting larger. You have fewer farmers, right, if you will, that are farming more ground. Like myself, there's a lot of folks that have someone else doing the farming the ground for them. The fellow that rents my farm probably farms, I'm not real sure, in the neighborhood of 3,000 to 4,000 acres.
And oh,
there's
boy.
A number of people that do the same thing. They have that larger equipment that can that can go across that ground real fast. That you wake up one morning and your 50 or 60 acres of corn is all gone, just that quick. So I think the number of farms is going down. When I taught agriculture for 34 years in the Chestnut Ridge School District, and since the time I started, I've just noticed a lot of the farms and the families that had farms at that time, a lot of them are no longer farming. The number of dairy farms has decreased. A lot of those farms have sold. There are still a few, and then they're decent-sized dairy operations.
Of course, in the eastern part of the state, we're losing farm because of development. Farms are turning into shopping centers, and they're turning into development housing. But it's not really the case here. It seems to me that the farms are getting bigger physically, but as you say, just fewer people and fewer organizations doing it. So are these organizations big companies, or are they just wealthy individuals? Or give me a feeling for that.
Oh, a lot of big companies. I live right beside the current Bedford County Business Park and Betty Slayton Business Park. And, you know, they keep expanding. So it's they're big companies. In this case, around the rest of the county, I don't see a lot of big development going on. I'm sure there is some. It starts out small.
Well, it's not like it was in Bucks County, where all of a sudden one day the whole county seemed to be paved over because of the tremendous pressure on development. And I don't see that yet here in Bedford County. It may come someday. But I'm talking to Doug Gaiman, who is not only a farmer in Bedford County, he is also the chairman of the Ag Preservation District. And we're going to get into that in a minute. But ag preservation is probably becoming more acute because of these large concerns. Would you say that's a correct assessment?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what kind of impact can this, I guess, this growth have on the future of farming here in Bedford, do you think?
The impact it has is when they develop, they usually don't seek out poor soils and poor ground that would be probably a better place as far as landowners for them to put those buildings and the big paved parking lots and the factories and so forth, manufacturing. They want a place that seems to be easy to build on, easy to develop. So they look at the flatter, smoother acreage plots that don't take a lot to develop.
And they're also going into the good soils also, and into the good arable soils.
The good soils. And so they at some point, you know, the soils that we grow plants on for food, for livestock, and for crops, you know, that's not something that's just you can just replace.
No, you can't. You can't do it with a mountainside, no matter how hard you try.
No.
Because a lot of our land here in Bedford County obviously is wooded, and it's on the side of a mountain, so it's not exactly the best farmland. But this is a real concern. And I know that we have a lot of things in Bedford County called ag preservation and ag security. And these words have a meaning. Tell me a bit about what they mean if I talk about ag security or ag preservation.
Okay. Well, ag security is an area that ag security areas are areas that have been set up. And you lock into those and you're in them for 7 years. But it protects your farm ground from certain types of development. There are still things that they can do. For example, a highway coming through. Right. If your land's in an ag security area, well, they could still probably use that ground, but you usually have to go through a condemnation hearing to where a board comes in and decides whether a condemnation hearing would determine whether that land can be used in some regard. But it does protect you in other ways.
Yeah.
Okay, so people that want to develop land have to consider that land's actually agriculturally protected.
So ag preservation is a different horse of a different color. It's a different reason to have that, correct?
Yeah, ag preservation is for families and people that really would like to keep their farm ground in agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does, it just protects your property perpetually from ever being developed again. So it's nice for a family who's had a farm in the area for 50, 60, 70 years, and they want to keep it in the family. And maybe the family is really rooted in agriculture, and they have plenty of generations that will see that keep that farm operation going for a long time. And they don't want to be, maybe for lack of a better word, continually answering the phone as turning down offers.
And I know that's that kind of pressure. People obviously call you up and say, you know, we have the XYZ Corporation. We would like to have 25 tillable acres that we can put something down on, and you don't want to sell it because it's your farm. And do you get a lot of those kind of phone calls?
I get plenty of offers for people that want to purchase the farm.
Right.
And recently, real quick, there was just in the last few weeks, I think, I read an article. There was a fellow in Cumberland County that they were approaching him, a dairy farmer, approaching him about his dairy farm, a data center, and they offered him $15 million.
Oh, my gosh.
And he turned them down and was able to enroll it into the easement program where he was paid $2 million. And so he will never recover all that difference, but it's just about keeping it in his family, and he put it, and not being harassed anymore. So.
That would be a very, very tough decision. We're talking about Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, right now,
yes.
Maryland,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and that's outside of Harrisburg. So that's an area that's already growing, especially around the Carlisle area. And to do that, that's a courageous guy.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Mean,
that's how much he wants to keep it in agriculture. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really about protecting the soil because it's just not a renewable resource. You can't keep
right.
Once it's gone, you know, what are we going to do then?
I mean, I remember first seeing where they built that place for the Flight 93 out in Somerset County. And I thought, boy, what a huge expanse of land. They said, well, that used to be a strip mine. So I think, aha, that's not a bad use of the property. If it was going to be a strip mine, and that's kind of ugly just to begin with, and they're going to put a memorial on top of it, that's a very good use of the land. It would not have been a good use of the land if they'd taken up 500 acres of arable farmland. So that's interesting. Our guest is Doug Gateman. He is the chairman of the Ag Preservation Committee here in Bedford County, and we're just thrilled to have him as our guest. Doug, I think one of the things that we need to talk about, which I'm going to do in the second segment of the show, is the future of farming. And I'm not just talking about the land. I'm talking about the farmers, young members of the FFA and organizations like that that are being developed here in Bedford County. But it's very tough to keep the kids on the farm, isn't it?
Yes, it is, very much so. They see different lifestyles that they would prefer to have sometimes.
Sure.
Through my career, I've noticed a lot of kids have left the farm. But then a lot of them, too, once they see that the grass isn't always greener, they sort of always yearn for that lifestyle that they had growing up. And I do see a number of them go back to the farm.
It's really the ultimate entrepreneurial experience. I mean, you do everything, of course. You work like the devil, but you do everything. And no one's telling you what to do. It's your place, your farm. You grow what you want. You grow what you don't want. If you have cattle, you do that. And it really can be a wonderful lifestyle. Would you agree with that?
I do. Yeah. I do. You see people that work all the time. They're just used to getting up early in the morning. They work all day.
Sure.
And a lot of times they go inside when the sun goes down, and sometimes not even then.
Yeah.
Now, you have fellows that go through the fields and they're combining corn at 2 a.m.
When we return, we're going to talk about some combines and other activity you may see on a farm. If you have never been on a farm, it can be a very fascinating thing if you've never seen it. Our guest is Doug Gateman, the chairman of Ag Preservation Board here in Bedford County. And when we return, we're going to learn something about these young farmers and what maybe their future may be. When Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Leah Pepple of Allegheny College of Maryland, Bedford County Campus. And you're listening to Bedford County Speaks on News Talk FM 98.7 and 1310 AM WBFD.
Today's Bedford County Speaks is presented as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association. BCDA President Jen Marsh, along with her professional staff, are building new business, residential, and outdoor recreation opportunities in Bedford County. BCDA builds business parks and fully operational building sites, such as the newly opened Rural Electric Cooperative Operations Center in Business Park 1, or site-ready locations in Business Park 2. In addition to excellent locations for business and industry, BCDA builds relationships that have added millions of dollars and thousands of jobs to Bedford County. BCDA represents a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and the exceptional quality of life that defines our region. To learn more, visit bcda.org.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
Bedford County Speaks.
We have returned, and my guest today is Doug Gateman of the Ag Preservation Board of Bedford County, and also himself a farmer of his own right, as he has a place not far from the present business park, so they're going up on I-99. And Doug and I were talking before the break a little bit about the future of farming and the future of the farmers. And I want to kind of reach upon your experience as an ag educator. And you saw these young people every day in the classroom, I assume. And you saw the good ones and you saw the ones that maybe weren't so interested. But if you were going to run the world today, what would you say to a young person that has the ability and maybe the wherewithal to take over a family farm or get their own? What's in it for them? What is the real kick about being a farmer, in your opinion?
I think it's the lifestyle of being your own boss, but also being outdoors, being around what you love. These people love being outside. Some of them love being in that combine or that tractor. Some people just love working with animals all the time. And so you have to do it because you really love to do it, not because you want to do it. Through the years, I've seen students that really loved it and wanted to stay there, and then some that maybe not so much. But they have to be willing to work hard, work long days, and they have to assume a lot of risk when you're subject to the weather or different disease or market prices of beef or pork or lamb, and how they can fluctuate so much, and you can go from making a lot of money just scraping by.
Right. You know, when I was younger, a long time ago, I was working at a radio station in Lancaster County. Not far away from where the station was the regional headquarters for Penn Jersey Harvest Store. And I met the Harvest Store people, and I'd never seen or heard of a Harvest Store prior to that time. This would have been in the early 1970s. And I remember these guys were interested in me. They wanted me to be their PR person at Jersey Harvest Store. And so I thought it was kind of interesting. I was in radio, but it was kind of related, so I went over and saw them. And as I recall, they might have been in Blue Ball, Pennsylvania, in Lancaster County, someplace like that. And they had a big operation there, and they sold all the Harvest Stores in this part of the world. And I remember them talking to me, and they said, these units are incredible. You know, they can reduce the spillage of the insulation and so forth, and they preserve an enormous amount of it, where you lose so much in a regular silo. So he started telling me about all this, and I remember asking him, I said, what kind of people do you get to work here? He says, oh, we just go out and find other farm boys. I was not one of them, of course, but he said, yeah, we try to find these Penn State farm boys that have been grow up on farms, and then they could go out and talk to people about buying these Harvest Stores. And now this is 50 years ago, and I said, well, how much are those Harvest Stores? Well, 50 years ago, they were well north of $200,000, so I can't imagine what one costs today, but that's when I really learned how big a business it was. I had no idea that they were throwing around those kind of numbers. So is that part of what's hurting farming today, is the numbers have gotten so big? I mean, you can't buy a tractor for anything less than that. It's just outrageous what things are going for today. A combine, I can't even imagine what that must cost. So tell me a little bit about that. Why does it cost so much?
To stay competitive, it seems like you have to work with
right
quantity. So the more you have, and the more you harvest, and time's important. So the way to harvest a lot of things quickly is to have equipment that'll do it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see the hobby farmers that you see, which I might have been one of those the last few years, where you see someone going out with an old tractor that's baling small bales of hay and you know, loading them by hand onto a wagon. Those days are gone. You see the hay bales now are 1,500-pound hay bales, and they you can bale a field of hay while you're just thinking about it, from that all the way to mowing it. An old mower used to take, for a say 10 acres, might take you 3 or 4 hours to mow. Now they do that in an hour.
Well, when I was a teenager, I worked on a farm doing those very things with those small bales, but that was the baler, and there wasn't any of this stuff you see now with these huge rolls and so forth that are out there. So I guess that's what's changed. In fact, you mentioned to me earlier that you have a family or a man who actually rents some of your place, or maybe all of it. Do they use that big equipment themselves, since they have 4,000 acres under tillage?
Sure.
Yeah,
they have a couple combines. They're 30-foot heads on the combines, mm-hmm. and They go through fields pretty quickly. They have a sprayer that covers about 100 feet at a swath.
Boy.
And so, you know, when you think about how much ground they have to go through, and the timing is so important, because they have to certain windows. And when you're dependent on the weather, there's a small window to get all those things done to manage your property. So their schedules are pretty tight.
Well, it's also particularly true with hay. You got to get it off while it's still dry, because
right.
if you want to get caught in a rainstorm and then have that, you know, that whole thing
That's
messed
it.
Up. So, our guest is Doug Gaiman, who is the chairman of the Ag Preservation Board here from Bedford County, and a farmer himself. And we're talking about agriculture in Bedford County. I've heard this a lot. They said that agriculture is the biggest business in Bedford County. I really don't know if it really is still or not. Is it? You think it still is?
I think it still is.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know what some of the feed mills and like Bedford Farm Bureau here, how much volume they do, but there's a lot of business goes through there for seed and for fertilizer and for feeds. And just the amount of the fellow that leases my property, he has a huge amount of potential grain storage that he can keep. He can dry and well over probably 500,000 bushels.
Can you tell me how the co-ops work on behalf of the farmer and do they literally buy and sell each other's stuff, or how does it work?
Well, I think as far as a farm bureau, as far as a co-op, yeah, they buy and sell. They store it. They dry it. But a lot of times it's a place for people to actually, they can take their grains in and they can keep them there, store them, and sometimes sell it for a little bit more.
I was also the impression that sometimes you can bring your grain in, he'll mill it and sell it back to you as feed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the functions it has.
Sure,
right?
They have it. They can store it there for you, and you can sort of use it as you need it.
As you need it, right. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's called a co-op, because people are cooperating.
For a certain amount of for a certain cost. But
the FFA and outfits like that, 4-H, these are important organizations, I think, to keep the young people interested, and they have wonderful programs. I've seen that. They're not just about farming. They're about leadership. They're about knowing what's going on around you. It's about educating you on some of the things you're talking about, like finance and so forth. Do you find these programs to be effective here?
Oh, sure do. You know, a lot of these kids have, they have SAEs or supervised ag experience projects, and they have, they put a lot of time into them, and that's what helps them learn the management skills for a lot of times the area of interest that they have. But they also learn something important. Record keeping is extremely important, and a lot of times it's overlooked, but that's how they learn to analyze the things that they're doing, whether they're making money, whether it's profitable for them or not, how to analyze records to find how they can maybe save money here or get more money here or in another area. So It's important that they do that, but you're right. Also, the leadership skills, how to talk with other people, how to speak.
Yeah,
public speaking is an important part. How to converse with other people when you're.
I don't think most people see that image. They kind of think of Farmer Brown in the movies, where he's just ambling along. He's got his Ford tractor, and everything's moving at 33 and a third. He's kind of small, And it's obviously a much bigger business and much more involved than today. Years ago, radio stations were a very important part in farmers' life because they would announce things like crop prices. They talk about what's happening to fertilizer one way or the other. They would talk about yields on the air. And now it's all done with computers. I mean, I guess any farmer that's half of a farmer has got a whole computer suite in his place that it keeps track of all this stuff. Is that happening here in Bedford County?
Oh, sure. Most of the people that that have decent sized operations are always tracking the beef prices or hog prices or the price of corn and wheat, any of the commodities that they're using. Yeah. So,
are the checkoffs still around? They still use that? The checkoffs they use for the beef, the beef checkoffs, these things that the state does?
Yeah, there's still a beef checkoff.
They still do that?
In fact, the office is just, across from the courthouse.
Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah. So are these things are all important today for a young farmer to learn. He's got to learn it all, not just how to raise the crops and buy the feed and check the prices, but they got to know about these other things as well.
Yeah, they have to be involved in, and it's nice for them to be involved in the community. When you see the community around you trying to cooperate with that community as well is vitally important.
Well, we have a wonderful farm fair here in Bedford County. We're really fortunate to have that. A lot of the counties don't have them like that anymore. Have you been involved with the Bedford Fair at all over the years?
Over the years, when I was teaching, yes, I was. Involved mostly with the swine show, so but But every year, you spend probably the longest week of my year was spent at the Bedford County Fair.
So what benefit is the fair to the farming community here, other than the social, obviously? But what is the other benefit toward them? They get to show off their best swine, their best beef, and all that kind of thing, best dairy.
Some of the students or some of the farms that are very active in showing and exhibiting animals or crops, it gives them a chance to highlight what they do and sort of maybe bragging rights, if you will, right. You know, for whatever it is, whether it's their swine operation or their beef operation.
Well, when you were involved with the swine, what did you do? Were you a judge?
No. I was in charge of the swine barn for about another fellow, an old county or township supervisor, ran it for years, and then I eventually succeeded him. But just managed the swine show all the way from helping to select judges to assigning pens and trying to sometimes keep peace in the swine barn, which was a little bit difficult because we had about 130 or 140 different kids. And so that usually meant that you had about 100 different families that were in there. So. And at some point, we usually had 200 pigs in the barn at one time. It's gotten smaller because of a lot of different things.
So it is competitive.
Yes.
Yeah.
At the time, we were the third largest hog show in the state.
Really? Boy. Bedford's got quite a history of that. That's terrific.
Yeah, the fair is one of the top fairs in the state.
So what else does the fair contribute to the ag community here? What other things do they do to contribute to the county's ag business?
Well, there's a lot of advertising that goes on, and there are a lot of community support. I think there's a lot of the funds and money that go to supporting the fair are done through sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the businesses in Bedford County sponsor some aspect of the fair, whether it be awards or maybe prize money for a certain show or just maybe sometimes supplies or equipment that they may let the fair use for that week.
You know, I'm always amazed when I go to the fair on fair day, you go and see the parking lot. I love to read license plates, and they have West Virginia, Maryland, Ohio. I've seen them from Michigan. I've seen them one year. I saw one from Nevada. They came from these states to see this fair. Mm-hmm. So it must be a pretty important fair that you're getting that kind of crowd.
It is. They get big crowds. And, you know, you look at all the stuff over on the Midway, the rides and so forth. But what really brings the people in are the shows, the livestock shows.
Mm.
You think of all the members that are showing animals. And, you know, all their family wants to see them show. So you have brothers, sisters, parents, you have grandparents, and that's probably some of those license plates from far away. You have people come from quite a distance to see their grandchild show their lamb or their pig or their steer.
Well, I think that our family contributed to some of these that tourists in terms of coming from far away. My two grandsons were born and raised in Hong Kong. And they came to Bedford County to see that farm show from Hong Kong.
Wow.
And neither one of them had ever seen a cow. He had never seen a pig, never seen any of that stuff. Hong Kong, of course, is a city that's built vertically. They don't have much room for farm animals. And I remember my two grandsons, when they were very young, were just taken out by the whole thing. They just couldn't believe it. So it was a very exciting thing to watch, and I'm sure that happens to a lot of people. Our guest is Doug Gaiman, and Doug is the chairman of the Ag Preservation Board. And before we leave here, we just got a minute or two left. How are you doing with the Ag Preservation Board? Are you moving along? I know it's been dormant for a long time, but you seem to get it back on its feet, and looks like you're going somewhere with it.
We're presently accepting applications this year up until the first Monday in March. So if you call the planning office, if you have questions about the application or how to fill it out, you can call there and they'll help guide you in that regard. But I think we're doing well. We're a lot of people, myself included, getting our feet wet. The land preservation, as far as the easement purchase program, is really beneficial because some of these fellows that have farms or these families, if they can enroll in that and get a little bit of payment for the difference between farm ground and development rights, They keep their farm perpetually in farm ground, but that also gives them a little bit of operating capital sometimes.
Yeah.
Because farming there, again, there's a lot of risk involved. Some people are operating on a shoestring budget. So that little bit of extra financial support can potentially really help them get a little bit of a boost and feel good about being able to stay where their families might have lived for 50, 60, 70
yeah.
years.
I also think that a lot of people misunderstand. You get to keep the farm. I think people
yes.
misunderstand. They think when they do this, they have to leave, but they don't. They stay there. They stay there keeping a farm. Is that
yes.
correct?
Yeah, you keep right. the farm. You still right. own it.
Right.
There's some restrictions as far as you of course, you can't just can't start building properties
right.
on it. It's perpetually stays in agriculture production.
You can't put a Burger King on there, okay?
Can't put a Burger King
gotcha.
On there. In fact, you're allowed to deed off, I think, 2 acres for a residence.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it protects it. So once you do that, then you eliminate that possibility of people coming in and wanting to take it and plow all your topsoil up and put a big building with a big parking lot on it.
Well, I'm not going to let them have that as long as we have this good Ag Preservation Committee. I appreciate it very much. Doug, you've been a super guest. I really appreciate you coming on and talking to us today. Our guest has been Doug Gaiman of the Ag Preservation Board, and we want to thank him very much for joining us here on Bedford County Speaks. This morning's program was brought to you as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association, BCDA, presenting the Bedford County Advantage, a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and exceptional quality of life that defines this region. To learn more, visit bcda.org. This is Lloyd Roach. See you next Saturday. Until then, have a great week.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks over 98.7 FM and 1310 AM WBFD. The show is heard right here every Saturday at 8:30 AM. If you'd like to hear the program again, visit bedfordcountyspeaks.com. Join us next time for Bedford County Speaks.